Good morning. Welcome to all those joining us for Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelik Sheni, Hilchai Schala, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Ches. Today's shiur is sponsored by the Gundel family, Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Chaim Meir, Reb Moshe, whose yahrzeit is today on the 17th of Adar. And also, we dedicate the learning, Le'ilui Nishmas, Dina Leia Sori Yocheved Bas Reb Shmuel Elio, whose yahrzeit is today. We're continuing in this halacha, which is based on two chapters of Likutei Moran, really, chapter 76 in the second part of Likutei Moran, and chapter 7 in the second part of Likutei Moran. V'zehu soid havdola. Rav Nosson Zal says what we've been speaking about right before is related to the secret of the havdola that we make on Moitzoy Shabbos. Shedaika al yidei shemavdilin. Voimrim hamavdil ben kodesh lechol daiko, aydeze niskachin gam yemei achol. That it's specifically as a result of our making a distinction, a separation between Shabbos and weekday. Through that we sanctify even the weekdays, umamshichan alein kodesh Shabbos, and we draw upon them the holiness of Shabbos. And we chase away, we remove the attachment of the tumma of the snake from the weekdays. Kayadua, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah. This is really what's behind the Havdalah that we make on Moitzoy Shabbos on a spiritual level. And now Rav Nosson Zal asks, V'lechayro hu lehepech. It would seem logically the exact opposite of what we just said. Ki aloi adaraba, just the opposite. Hare onu mavdilin ben kedusha Shabbos l'mechol. We are making a separation. We're declaring that Shabbos and weekday are different. They're separate. They're apart. Ve'ech niskachin yemei achol yideze. How are you telling me that this brings holiness into the 6 days of the week? I would think that to bring holiness into the 6 days of the week, you need to make a bridge between Shabbos and the 6 days of the week. Here you're telling me that we make Havdalah. Havdalah means separate. Achu kanal. However, it's exactly like we spoke about in the previous paragraph. Ki daiko al yidei ha-havdalah. Shemavdilin ben kodesh l'chol ben yom hashvi'i l'shesh yesimei ha'maisa, that it's specifically through our separating between Shabbos and weekday, between the seventh day of the week and the other 6 days. V'yoidin u'megalin she'ikar hakedusha v'ikar kiyum ha'olam hu Shabbos, and we declare and we broadcast this message that holiness and what sustains the world is Shabbos. V'chol yemei achol heim b'china shirayim. And the 6 days of the week are like the leftovers, in a sense. Shenivru kulam rak b'shvil ha-Shabbos. They were all created only for the sake of Shabbos, to prepare for Shabbos, to serve the Shabbos. Al yidei zeh daiko niskachin gam yemei achol b'kdusha Shabbos. Through this declaration and realization, this is what gives holiness to the 6 days of the week also. Al yideish, it brings some of the holiness of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. Al yideish shetorchen atzmon kol yemei achol b'shvil haShabbos. As a result of all the effort that we put in throughout the 6 days of the week for Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos. Shezehu ikar aliyosam v'tikunam. This is really what elevates and rectifies the 6 days of the week. Kamesha Kosov, as it says, Zochor es yom haShabbos, remember the day of Shabbos. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? When should I remember? Zochreyu me'echod b'Shabbos. Remember it from Sunday. From Sunday, remember that Shabbos is coming and start preparing. And through this realization, this is what allows the 6 days of the week to plug into the holiness of Shabbos, and they become sanctified from the tumah of the snake, the original tumah of the snake from the Eitz Hadas. Ki kol zman she'ein mavdilin ben kedusha Shabbos l'me'achol, Because so long as we don't make a clear distinction and separation between the holiness of Shabbos and the weekdays, the Ein Megalin Ahevdel, we don't reveal the difference, the separation, Nidme Shechas V'Shalom Shekol Apin Shavim. It could seem to some people like it's all the same. Shabbos, weekday, it's another day, Chas V'Shalom. Ve'ein yoidin mi horeshis u'mi ashirayin. And then we don't know which is number one and which is the leftovers. Azai ho'oilam bebechinas toyu vavoyu v'choshech. And then, like we explained in the previous year, then the world is in a state of chaos, darkness, all kinds of darkness. Rakdaiko al yidei ha'havdola. It's only by recognizing, realizing, and declaring the difference, the separation between Shabbos and the week. Shemegalin Milas Kedusha Shabbos, whereby we reveal the importance and the holiness of Shabbos. Shehu ho'ikar v'horeshis, that's the main thing, that's number one. Bechinas Tchila l'mikroi kodesh, as we say on Friday night, that Shabbos is first, number one of all the holidays. All the other holidays draw their holiness from Shabbos. That allows the leftovers, the remainder, the less significant days to be sanctified also. Shehem Yemei Achoel, which are the weekdays. Because this is the main tikkun for the world and everything in it. It was created for this purpose. Which purpose? Bishvil Horatius. For the sake of Rashis, Be-Rashis, for Rashis, Hashem created heaven and earth. Rashis means the first, number one. Bechinas Bara Elokim, as it says right afterwards, Hashem created. The whole creation was Be-Rashis, for the sake of Rashis. Bishvil HaRashis Kanal. Hainu Shekol HaOilam Nivra Bishvil Yisrael. V'HaTorah, as we mentioned in the previous year, the entire world was created for the sake of the Jewish people who are called Rashis. We quoted the pasuk from the Midrash, Kodesh Yisroel Lashem, Rashis Tivuasoi. And for the sake of Torah, which is called Rashis, Hashem Konani Rashis Darkoi. Sheyihu Hakoil Toichem V'yegein Bishvil Yisroel V'Torah. So that everything in the world, everything in existence, is working and struggling for the sake of the Jewish people and for the sake of our connection to the Torah. Sheheim ho'ikar v'horeshis. That's the most important thing in creation. That's number one. V'chein ben Yisrael bi'atzmon. And so too within the Jewish nation itself. Hehomoin v'amei ha'oretz tzrichin l'troyach u'lisiyageya l'hachzik ha'tamidi chachomim v'hayireim ho'iskem b'avidos yisborach. The regular people, the ordinary people, the people who aren't studying Torah a lot, they are required to work in order to support Talmidei Chachamim. And the really religious people who are involved in serving Hashem, like during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim and Leviim were being supported by the rest of Klal Yisrael. Sheheim Iker Horatius. It's these Talmidei Chachamim, these who are studying Torah seriously, they are the most important thing. V'chein b'chol yemei achoel, tzrichem l'troyach b'shvil kedusha Shabbos kanal. And so too, throughout the 6 days of the week, we're working for what? We're working for Shabbos. V'oz daika, kisheyoidin mi horeshes u'mi ashirayim. And it's then, specifically, when we know and realize clearly what's number one, and what's priority, and what's less important. Who's the melech and who's the eved? Who's the king and who's the slave? We say about the 6 days of the week, sheshes yomim ta'avoid. 6 days of the week we work. The weekdays are called eved, and Shabbos is called melech, or ben melech. V'ashirayim toichem atzmon b'shvil hareshes. And the secondary ones are working and struggling for the sake of the rashis, for the sake of the number one. When the world is in that kind of a state, oz niskachin gam hashirayim, then the secondary category also becomes holy, v'nichlolin b'oreishis, and they become part of this reishis. B'bchinas, as Rabbeinu Zal highlights this pasuk in chapter 76, v'nishar gamhu lelokeinu. They also will remain for Hashem. They also will be included for the sake of Hashem. It's interesting that we're talking about this right now in Eretz Yisrael. For the past couple of months, once again, there's what to talk about. The government has what to play with. It's all about drafting those religious... We have to put those religious people in the army. We have to give them guns and training to fight. None of this religious stuff. None of this Torah exemptions. And these people have no... They don't know. They're in a state of toyu, vavoyu, v'choshech. They're in a state of darkness, spiritual darkness, and mental darkness. They don't realize what purpose the world was created for, and for what purpose Eretz Yisrael was created for. They don't know what Eretz Yisrael is all about, unfortunately. V'alkein tzrichin b'mitzvas chala sheyihye daiko reishis v'shirayim. And this ties back to what we started with in this paragraph in the previous shir, that the halacha tells us that when a person is separating chala to give to the kohen, you're not allowed to give the entire dough to the kohen. There has to be a piece of the dough that's going to the kohen and a remainder of the dough that's remaining with the ones who are going to be baking the bread. Kamesh kosuv, reishis. As the Torah refers to this chala as reishis, the first. And the Gemara says, sheyihu shioreha nikorim. This means that a remainder must be recognizable, must be visible, that you gave the reishis to the kohen, and the rest remained with you. Kize ikar hashlemus v'hatikun, because this is called perfection. This is the tikkun that we're trying to accomplish. Sheyistaknu hashirayim alidei horeishis. That the remaining dough will have its tikkun as a result of the fact that we gave part of the dough to the kohen. V'zeh shedosh rabbi senezal, and this is also what the Medrash says, posuk bereishis al bikurim. Al bikurim utruma v'chalo shenekroin reishis. The Medrash says there, in interpreting the word bereishis, for the sake of reishis, Hashem created heaven and earth. The Medrash says, what's reishis? Bikurim is called reishis, the first of your crops. Truma is called reishis, and chala is called reishis arisei seichem. In the Chumash, we find psukim by each one of these three. Each one of these three is called reishis. Shebishvilom nivra hoylam. It's for the sake of these mitzvahs that the world was created. What does that mean? Ki hakol echot. Because it's all really one concept. Ki kol mitzvahs chala utruma ubikurim hakol bechina hanal. Because the whole concept behind these three mitzvahs is what we mentioned earlier, lekadesh ulahafrish horeishis. It's all about sanctifying and separating the priority, the primary portion, kedesh al yidei zeh yizbororu v'yistaknu gam hashirayim. And by doing that, we are also refining and perfecting the remaining portion. Shezeu bi'atzmoi klal b'riyas oylam. And this is actually the whole concept between how Hashem created the world. Shenivra kol ha'oylam u'maloyoy shubchina shirayim b'shvil ha'reishis shehin Yisrael v'Torah. The entire world and everything in it, including the angels, the birds, the trees, the animals, the rivers, the oceans, everything was created for the sake of reishis, for the sake of the Jewish people, for the sake of the Torah HaKadosha. Ki hakol echot, because it's all one. It's all this concept of realizing that not all equal, not everything in creation is equal. There's a difference. There's a head and there's a tail, and they're not the same. And when the tail is in front and the head is in back, then a person's walking backwards. They're not walking a straight path. They're upside down. Rahmanul Islam. Question in the chat. Is this like water in the pot, that fire can only heat the water as long as they remain separate? didn't think of that. It seems to make sense. Correct. Another question, the problem with the army for Haredim isn't about those who sit and learn all day. The problem is about the working Haredim who refuse to serve by principle, and that seems to be against the Torah. In time of war, all should serve except those serious Torah scholars. The answer is yes, yes, and no. Meaning that if the army treated the religious people with respect, and the religious people were given the right to uphold all their religious principles, things would be different. Unfortunately, the majority of cases of religious people who went into the army did not come out as religious as when they went in. That's one of the issues, one of the problems. Unfortunately, it's a complicated issue. But in terms of those people who are simply saying that the people who are learning Torah are parasites, they're not fulfilling their duty to the country, etc., those people unfortunately don't know why the world was created. They don't know why they were created. They don't know what their mission is in life, unfortunately. V'alkein. And this is why, especially when it comes to the mitzvah of challah, there must be this distinction between the first and the remainder. As the pasuk uses the word reishis, and the Gemara says in Psachim, this implies that there's a first portion and there's the rest. I believe we said this. Yeah. Paragraph Tess. Any questions, please? V'zeh imein kemach ein Torah. And now we understand also an interesting connection that the Mishnah makes in Pirkei Avos between flour and Torah. The Mishnah says if there's no flour, there's no Torah. What it's really referring to is if there isn't financial support, if there isn't bread, then there's no Torah. But why does it use the term kemach, flour? Divrei Torah nimshalu l'reichayim. The Midrash says that the Torah is compared to a mill that grinds wheat or grain. As the Medrash says, Ma rechayim einon betelois. Just like the mill always keeps grinding, so too, divrei Torah, we have to keep grinding and grinding. Meaning, Ki habiru shel hakemach, she'oisin mimena lechem, hu kamoi birur ha-Torah. The concept of the refinement of flour, which we make into bread, is similar to the refinement that has to be done regarding the Torah. Shetzrichen ledaktek bo uletoichano heitev heitev ad shemavaren hahalocha al birya. That when a person is studying Torah, the person has to really understand all the details and grind it up, crush it up fine, to the point where a person clarifies, really makes clear the halacha. And then the person is zeicher to the bread of Torah, as it's called. Bechinas, as it says in Mishlei, lechu lachmu balachmi. Go and do battle with my bread. This battle of Torah, the battle to crush up the words of Torah, to break it down and break it down finer and finer, so that the person really understands. Vezehu bi'atzmoi birur hakemach. And this is the concept of the refinement that's done in making flour. Shetzrichin litchoin hachito lekemach. We have to crush up and grind up those kernels of wheat into flour. Kedei sheyischalku hanitzoitzois ma'oid moid. In order that the holy sparks that are found in these grains are separated in a very very much separated from each other. Bebchinas k'toiris, just as we find by the offering of Ketores in the Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar boy, the pasuk says, v'shachakta mimenu hodek, grind it up, crush up these spices to very fine powder. U'keshehu shoychek, oimer hodek heitev heitev hodek. And as it says, when they're grinding up the spices for the Ketores, they have to announce, very well, ground up very, very well. U'biyoim hakipurim. And then on the one day of the year, on Yom Kippur, she'oz tzrichen levarir ulahalois me imke imke haklipois yoiser v'yoiser. That's the day of the year when we're involved in refining and elevating the holy sparks that are found in the deepest, deepest, lowest places within the klipois. Oz ki oz mechaprin kol havainois. Because on Yom Kippur, all sins are forgiven. Therefore, the Torah gives us an additional requirement on Yom Kippur. Throughout the year, the Ketores had to be ground up fine. For Yom Kippur, it's ground up extra fine. Because this is a very important rule in Kabbalah. Shekol ma shetzrichen hanitzoitzois tikun ubiror yoiser, that the more there's a more serious need for holy sparks to be repaired and refined, we have to divide them up and separate them more and more. Make it into a powder, which is billions of individual granules. As the Arizal discusses in explaining the whole concept of reincarnations. V'zeh b'chinas kemach, and this is the concept of flour, she'yef shalasa islechem kim kishetoichen en hachito tchilo lekemach, whereby it's impossible to bake bread unless you first crush up the kernels of grain, crush it up into flour, into this powder. Shehu nitchan v'nechlak l'chalokim dakim moid moid, whereby it's ground and separated into very, very fine powder. So that the holy sparks are separated, divided into many, many individual granules. And then we're able to gather this powder together and refine it, process it, and make it into a dough, make it into bread. She'oz nichlolin b'koyma sodom, and once it's baked into bread, which human beings can eat, now these holy sparks become part of the status of Odom, man. This powder, this kernel that grew, this tzoymeach now, is being elevated to the level of Odom. Al yidei she'ho'odom oicheloysam, when a person goes ahead and eats that bread now that's made from this flour. V'heim ikar hachius v'hasviyah shel Adam. And as we said before, bread is the main source of life and satiation for man. Hainu, where is that life coming from? Where is that spiritual energy coming from? Where is that satiation coming from? Hanitzoitzois, the holy sparks that are in there. Sheheim hachius selikus shebohem. That's the divine energy that's found in that bread, shemehem ikar hasviya v'achius, and that's what gives a person the life energy and satiation. V'zeh shepirush Rashi, and with this we also understand how Rashi tells us when Hashem created man, it says he created man ofor min ha'adama, dirt from the ground, from the earth. Binyan Bria Sodom Orishon, Kezeh Shalosh Esoiso, like a person who's kneading dough, where they take a powder and mix it with water in order to form a dough. That's how Hashem created Adam, man. Rashi has two opinions there. Rashi says one opinion is that Hashem gathered dirt from all four corners of the earth, so that wherever a human being would be buried, the body would have a natural connection, a natural association with that earth that it's being buried in. And another opinion is that Hashem gathered earth from under the Mizbeach, where the Mizbeach would be. The Mizbeach is called Mizbach Adama. Adama. It says Hashem created man, Ofer Menho Adama. Why are we comparing creation of man to kneading dough? Ki HaKoel Echad. Because it's one concept. Ki Adam Arishoin Nitzbar Aforoi Mikol Chelkei Hoilam. Because as Rashi points out there in the beginning, in order to create man, Hashem gathered dirt from all parts of the world. Ki hayu klulim boi kol hanitzoitzois v'chol haneshamois kayadua. Because the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that inside of Adam Harishon was contained all the holy sparks and all of the neshamois that would be created. V'zeh b'chinas iso sho'isim enakemach. And this is the concept of a dough that's made from flour. Flour is millions of tiny little granules. And all of that is being put together and made into a paste, made into dough, in order to bake bread. Shezeh b'chinas ha-Torah. And this is also what the Torah is all about. B'chinas im ein kemach, ein Torah, as the Mishnah says. If there's no flour, there's no Torah. V'zeh shenimshelu birur ha-halochei shel tamidei chachomim lebirur ha-ma'acholim. And this is also why the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos compares rabbis who are studying Torah and trying to clarify the halacha, it compares it to people who are processing food. K'may Shom Rab Mishnah, as it says in a Mishnah towards the end of Pirkei Avos, Arba midos betalmidim. There are four categories among students. Sfoig, there's a sponge, a person that sponges up everything. Mashpech, mishameres venofer, which refer to a sieve that sifts out the good and gets rid of the bad, eliminates. So the Gemara there gives four examples of students who, when they're receiving from a rabbi, some just receive, absorb everything, some know to distinguish, to differentiate between right and wrong, good and bad, etc., etc. The similar analogy to how we process food. When we take food into the body, first the food has to be crushed up. And again, when it comes to bread, before that, it's being crushed up, made into flour. Then a person eats the bread, they have to crush it up again in their mouth and swallow it and digest. And then a separation takes place in the body between the good portion and the bad portion. The good portion is retained in the body. The bad portion is egested or excreted from the body. V'alkein, iker gemar habirur, alidei hachala shenoisne mehoiso, shenasis mikemachumayim. And therefore, the main completion of processing wheat is when we take part of that dough that was made from a mixture of flour and water, and we separate part of it to give to the Kohen. Shemamshichin meimei hadas v'hatoira ala kemach. By adding water to the flour, water represents das and toira. The toira is compared to mayim, and das is compared to mayim. Ki molo ha'oretz deyes Hashem kamayim layam echasim. So we're adding the das and toira to the flour, and that's what gives us the ability to gather up this whole powder and knead it and turn it into a dough. And then we have this requirement to separate part of the dough as challah to give first a part to the kohen, and the remainder is going to stay with us. Shekolul mi ben v'talmid. And as we learned previously, as Rabbeinu Zal points out there in chapter 7, in the second half of the Qur'an, that the Kohen represents both the son and the Talmud. The Pasuk Lahoyrois, it says that the Kohanim are the ones to teach Bnei Yisrael. Lahoyrois means to teach, like it teaches students. And Lahoyrois is also Miloshen Herayon, pregnancy, producing children. By doing this properly, the entire dough is plugging into the concept of Torah and Das, Torah v'Das. And this allows all the holy sparks that were found in those grains of wheat to be elevated. and b'chutz l'aretz. And this goes back to answering our original question that we started this halacha with. Why is it that this mitzvah of challah applies today when there's no Beis HaMikdash and we don't know for sure who's a Kohen or not, so we don't even give it to the Kohen? And why does it apply even in Chutz Laretz? Machmas Shedei Challah Iker HaBirur. Because this mitzvah accomplishes the main birur that's needed by separating the holy part from the unholy, making a clear distinction between the reishis and the remainder. That's Tikkun HaOlam. That's major, major tikkun, and that's what's needed now also, as Rabbeinu Zal explained in chapter 76 on Likud Imran, that there's Eretz Yisrael, which is holy, and there's chutz laretz. Chutz means outside the holiness. But Rabbeinu Zal said that when we're in Golus, when we're in exile, we're called Bnei HaGoyla, the children of exile. And the word Goyla makes up the first letters of a pasuk, V'nishar Gamhu Lelukenu. That the reason for this whole setup is that the Golus also, the theaters and the stadiums and all of those buildings and everything in Chutz Laretz should also be able to be connected to Hashem, to have a connection. When Jews build yeshivas and shuls in Chutz Laretz, that sanctifies all the other structures there. That allows all of those other structures to be included in the Kedusha. A question regarding the relevance of the comparison to Arba Midos Betalmidim. Rav Nosson Zal wanted to show, just like when a person is making food, when a woman is making food, there's a process of sifting flour in order to prepare food, and separating the bran from the other part of the flour. There's this separation of the good from the bad. So too in Torah, there's this sifting, there's this process that needs to be done of grinding up, breaking down things to smaller parts which can be understood and digested in order to come to the real truth of the Torah. Rav Nosson Zal wanted to show the analogy between eating and the study of Torah, because we find the study of Torah is compared to flour, it's compared to bread. Lechu lachmu belachmi, come and do battle or partake in my bread, Hashem says, referring to the study of Torah. Paragraph Yud. Rav Nosson Zal says, and now we'll understand why the mitzvah of separating challah when baking bread is written right after the parsha of the Meraglim, the spies who went to Eretz Yisrael and came back with a negative report. Ki ha-Meraglim pogmu b'Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim, unfortunately, were pogim in the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Upogmu bebechinas heoras ben v'talmid kemuven batoranal. And Rabbeinu Zal shows there in chapter 7 in the second half of Likud Imran that Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, is an example of this ben v'talmid, these two levels of knowledge, the higher level and the lower level. And by them speaking against Eretz Yisrael, saying that we can't conquer it, that they were being poigim in the ben and the talmid. Ki heim avru b'Eretz Yisrael be'eis shoyse kivusha bagoyla adayin tachas yad hashiva mamin. Because they were traveling in Eretz Yisrael when Eretz Yisrael was still in a state of exile. It was under the control of these seven nations that were there at the time. Ukishebo l'shon, and when the Meraglim arrived in Eretz Yisrael, hoyel hem pchodim, they were terrified. They saw these giants. And unfortunately, they went into a state of moichen de katnus. They had the wrong kind of humility. Bechinas golus, a golus mentality, like Jews who are in exile, living among the goyim, and think that the goyim are superior to us, that they are the primary and we're the secondary, chas v'shalom. As it says clearly, when the Meraglim returned, they said, "Vaniyu be'einenu kachagovim, v'chein hoyinu be'einehem." We felt like grasshoppers compared to these giants there, and that's how we must have looked to them. That's how we looked to them. However, they were wrong. This was a wrong type of humility. That they were supposed to be strong, lahamin b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdoi, to have complete faith in Hashem and in His loyal servant Moshe Rabbeinu, shebekoychoy hagodol yichboy shlefneim akol, that Moshe Rabbeinu with His great power will be able to conquer everything. He defeated Mitzrayim, will defeat these seven nations also. V'yuchsar hakoil Hashem Yisporach LiYisrael, and everything will be returned, reconnected to Hashem and to the Jewish people. K'moy shehoya achar kach b'emes, which is actually what happened later, when Yehoshua led the Jews in Eretz Yisrael and defeated all of those seven nations. Avalheim kofru bazeh. However, they were in denial. They didn't believe that Moshe Rabbeinu could do it. V'alkein nigzar aleihem b'chiel edoyrois, and therefore Hashem decreed that day when they came back and gave this terrible report was Tisha B'Av, and that was declared as a day of crying for generations. Shetzrichin Yisroel lehismamea begolus kol kach, meaning that unfortunately we, the Jewish people, have to remain in exile for such a long time. Validation in Tsoim Gam Ato Tzadikim, and as a result of the fact that even now there are Tzadikim Shemechaskin Oisano who give us encouragement, Laham and Bashem Yisborah, to have faith in Hashem, Sheyichboy Shlefaneinu Hakoil, that Hashem is going to conquer all the obstacles in front of us, all the different nations that are challenging us and trying to frighten us. Hashem will conquer all of them. V'hakoil tal al Hashem Yisborach, and all of it will be elevated to Hashem. All of them will recognize the greatness of Hashem and the superiority of the Jewish nation. B'bechinas v'nishar gamhu lelekenu, as the pasuk makes perfectly clear, that gamhu, they also will be connected to Hashem, will plug into Hashem. V'ideizeh anu mesaknin chet hamaraglim. And through this realization, we correct the sin of the Meraglim, Shepogmu Bazeh, who were Poigim in this. Vaydezeh Yovoi Mashiach Tzikeinu. And this will eventually lead to Mashiach coming, V'yigoleinu Mehera, and redeem us, take us out of this exile speedily, V'yoshuv HaKoel Hashem Yisborach. And everything will return to Hashem. Everyone, the whole world and everything in it, will achieve real recognition of Hashem. V'zeh b'chinas chalo l'koyein, and this is the concept behind us giving that first dough to the koyein, shehu b'chinas v'nishar gamhu l'alekeinu, as we explained throughout this halacha, that by separating the first from the rest and performing this mitzvah, not only does that first portion become holy, but that makes the tikkun for the rest, for the shirayim, for the she'eris. V'alkei nisma parsha schala b'seder shlach lecha. And now you understand the connection between Hashem giving us this mitzvah of chala being put near the meraglim. Because this is what their mistake was. Their mistake was they didn't realize the superiority of Klal Yisrael. They were frightened. They saw giants, seven nations. How in the world can we overcome them? But the Torah makes it perfectly clear that Hashem loves us because we're the smallest of the nations. Ki atem hama'at loy merubchem choshek Hashem bohem. Hashem doesn't love us and desire us because there's so many of us or because we think we're so great. But rather, ki atem hame'at mikol amin, because we are the most humble of all the nations, but it's anava dikdusha, holy humility. When we stand before Hashem, we stand with humility. When we stand in the presence of the tzaddik, there's humility. When we go out to war, not afraid of anything, not afraid of anyone. V'zeh gam kein b'chinas parshas minchas nesochim, Shenismach leparshas meraglim miyad, and Rav Nosson says now we'll understand another thing, that in between the parsha of the meraglim and the parsha of challah, There's another small piece inserted there, which is the law of bringing a korban mincha and the nesachim, the libations that were brought together with the korban mincha. Kimenochos meviyin mi kemach, because a korban mincha is a flower offering. Sheshom ikar habiru, and that's where the main refinement is taking place. Shezel bechinas chala, which is the mitzvah chala, as we've been speaking about. V'alkein ikar hiskarvus Yisroel Hashem Yisborach v'itzias Mitzrayim v'kabalas satoiro hialidei minchas ho'oimer bepesach u'shtei alechem b'shpus. And Rav Nosson Zal says, now we understand why one of the most important bridges which connect us to Hashem upon leaving Mitzrayim was the oimer se'orim, the korban that was brought from barley, made from flour from barley, the oimer se'orim, which started off the period of Sfiras Oimer, and then concluded on Shavuos, when we bring the shtei halechem, the two bread offerings from wheat. Ki menochos v'chala sheboi mikemach, because the korban minchas and this mitzvah of challah, which are all brought from flour, shehem tikun halechem, which is the tikun that's needed in order to produce bread, shehu ikar huachila, which is the main food of man, the most important food in many ways, shom heoras harotzaim, that's where there is this incredible high level light called heoras harotzaim. Shehu ikar hatikun shenimshach alidei heoras ben v'talmid, which is the most important product and result that comes after we have the light, after we have the tzaddikim teaching the sons and the students, the higher level and the lower level. Shehu ikar hadas, and this heoras haratzon is the highest level das. Lodas es Hashem, it's the highest level of recognition of Hashem and realization of Hashem. Shemamshichin bePesach v'Shavuos, which we draw upon ourselves during the holiday of Pesach and Shavuos. And the bridge between them is this, the Oimer Se'orim and the Shtei Alechem. V'alkei nismach leparshas Meraglim, and this is why both of these, the mitzvah of Challah and the mitzvah of Korban Mincha, is written right after the Meraglim, shepogmo b'kol zeh, because they messed up all of this. Kialidei menochos v'challah shehem tikun halechem, because by the Jewish people bringing these Korban Minchas and performing this mitzvah of Challah, shehem tikun halechem, which are the tikun for bread, shalidei zeh zoichen leheoras haratzayim. And over there in chapter 7 on the Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal says, what's the ultimate goal of all of this, of all the learning Torah and everything? The ultimate goal is to achieve heoras haratzayim, that when we're eating, experiencing this boundless yearning for Hashem, number one, and Hashem feeling incredible goodwill towards us. Kalidei zeh nizke lotze, all of this repairs the pigama of the meraglim. Because by performing these mitzvahs, this will enable us to get out of the exile. And all the holy sparks will be refined and elevated. And we will soon, very soon, very quickly see the fulfillment of Venishar Gamhu Lelikenu, that all the rest will also plug into Hashem, not just the Jewish people, not just the Torah, not just the Challah, but everything, Gamhu, also the others, will all be for Hashem. Bimhera Biyomenu, Amen. We hope that this will be very soon during our time. Question in the chat. When people say that evil will disappear, they don't believe evil people will do tshuva or be included. Why? The answer is, as we've mentioned before, there's two categories of evil. There's an evil that needs to be destroyed, eliminated. We just read Parsha Zohar last Shabbos. Amalek, wipe out men, women, children, animals. Wipe out complete destruction. There's an evil that's a combination of good and bad. And there it's possible to extract the good and integrate it into Kedusha, to separate the good from the bad, integrate the good into Kedusha, and again, push aside the negative, the bad. Question in the chat. So could we say people that eat bread every day is tikkun, and people that do not eat bread every day are not part of the tikkun? I wouldn't want to say it so sharply, because the tikkun is also the study of Torah. There's other ways that a person is participating in this, but the eating bread on a daily basis is an important thing. Here again, the Shulchan Aruch, when it speaks about a person getting up in the morning, and it gives the whole procedure leading up to the conclusion of Tefillah Shachris. After a person finishes Shachris, it says before the person goes to the Beis Medrash to learn, the person, it's preferred, it's advised that a person should have Pas Shachris. That's in the Halacha. In the Medrash it says that if you talk to a person during the day and they're not making sense, they're not talking sensibly, probably they didn't have their bread. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that chito, wheat, ches tes he is bigematria 22, that's the key to opening up the 22 letters of the Torah. So it's an important thing. It's a very important thing. It's a very good thing if people can. Baruch Hashem. With this, we conclude Hilchas Challah, and we also touched on, Rav Nosson Zal showed a distinction between Challah and Trumas HaMaisris, where Challah applies even in Chutz Laretz, whereas Trumas HaMaisris don't. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. You remember we said that Challah is associated with chapter 76 on Likud Imran, where we're making a tikkun even for the rest, for the others. Trumas HaMaisris is a holiness, but it's not bringing that same level of inclusion to the others, as Challah is. Baruch Hashem. Question. In Torah 17, just a moment. Another question in the chat, that there's another place where Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Gemara, where the Gemara says that a person asked a question to a rabbi in the evening, and he said, I don't have the answer for you. The next morning, the rabbi came back and said, now I can give you the answer because I ate meat. And Rabbeinu Zal quotes that Gemara to show that eating plays an important role in clarity of the mind. So again, meat in this, from that Gemara we see, also is playing a role in this. But meat doesn't have six brachas. On meat, you don't wash for it, and you don't make hamoitzi and birkas hamozoim. Each thing has its chashivos. Yes, question.
It is,
but we still do it. In Chutz Loretz, we do not separate Trumas and Maisris. And yet in Chutz Loretz, women who are baking, you know, the right amount of 43 eggs worth of dough, have to separate challah. They make the bracha. Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoisa v'tzivonu. Right? So it's still being performed. And I'm trying to recall if Rav Nosson Zal touched on it, that it's the Rabbanan, because again, this is the mission of the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim are involved in this mission of shining this He'ora of Ben V'Talmid and bringing the He'ora Sarotzayim and bringing about this major tikkun. Baruch Hashem. Wishing everybody a wonderful day, a good week. Wednesday, we're starting to head towards Shabbos, Mitzvah Shem. All the best.